Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than getting thirsty over a box of Girl Scout cookies. Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Tabitha. That counts. And Lydia.
Hi.
And I'm Mitch. I feel like we're going to have some fun with this story later on tonight.
Oh my.
So,
you broke Tabitha right out of the gate.
I know, it's kind of got to be a new record.
Yeah, probably.
So, we're going to start today with a bit of shocking news, breaking developments. It's akin to the sky being blue, and Matt, why don't you go ahead and just tell us what Netflix did?
Yeah, so Netflix canceled The Punisher and Jessica Jones.
I did not see that coming.
What? Nobody did.
I'm so surprised.
Right? Nobody is surprised. Everybody knew it was coming. I think it was just a matter of waiting until Punisher aired season 2, and Jessica Jones was closer to being, like, season 3 was getting ready to come out. So, you know, no surprise to anybody. Marvel did make a statement. They sent a letter, essentially, from Jeff Loeb. And it says, let's see, where are we going? It had never been done before. Four separate television series, each with different super talented showrunners, writers, directors, cast, and crew coming out months apart. And then, they would meet in a single event series all set in the heart of New York City. We called them the Defenders. And together, we were thrilled by stories of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and even The Punisher joined in. They said it couldn't be done. But Marvel assembled amazing teams to write, produce, direct, edit, and score 13 seasons and 161 one-hour episodes. So that alone is impressive. Like, yeah. I didn't realize it was that many episodes. Take a moment and go online and look at the dazzling list of actors, writers, directors, and musicians who graced us with the very best of their craft. We loved each and every minute of it, and we did it all for you, the fans, who cheered for us around the world and made all the hard work worth it. So, thank you. On behalf of everyone at Marvel Television, we couldn't be more proud or more grateful to our audience. Our network partner may have decided they no longer want to continue telling the tales of these great characters, but you know Marvel better than that. As Matthew Murdock's dad once said, the measure of a man is not how he gets knocked to the mat, it's how he gets back up. To be continued. So, obviously, like, the letter came out from Jeff Loeb and Marvel within minutes, it seemed like, of the announcement that these shows were being canceled. So, like we had talked about, this was something that they had penned and ready to go when it happened. They knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Just like the rest of us. It's nice, at least I'm thrilled to know that it doesn't sound like they're going to let these characters rest. Like, I mean, Daredevil was, like, I haven't seen season 3, but 1 and 2 were fantastic. Luke Cage was awesome. It was different. I had not gotten to the second Iron Fist season. But the first one, I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people said it was.
Mm-hmm.
Defenders was decent. Jessica Jones, first season 1 was phenomenal. So I'm excited to know that they have at least some idea or some plans or some thoughts that these are not going to be the last we see of these characters, however that comes about.
Yeah. I thought I saw on Twitter, the name is escaping me, but the guy who plays Iron Fist. Doesn't matter. You all know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think he posted something on Twitter, like, you know, like, to everybody who's, you know, wondering, you know, like, what comes next with these characters, and then, like, in asterisks, like, gestures wildly to any comic book shop. Which, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's interesting that this all went down the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, especially after, because which one got canceled first? Was it Luke Cage that got canceled first?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Iron Fist got canceled, like, we all saw this coming.
Yeah.
This wasn't a surprise at all. It's a shame that it's kind of going down that way, and that, you know, these these stories weren't necessarily able to tie up how they wanted to. Now, maybe like something like Jessica Jones, which I'm sure by the time
this was known, they'll have a better ending. Yeah.
So they, you know, Jessica Jones might get to have a better ending, but...
Now, I did see an interesting article that compared Netflix canceling these Marvel shows to Activision parting ways with Bungie over Destiny, which I think is really interesting, and it makes a very good point. Destiny, Bungie, and Activision separated that because Activision did not have complete control over creative for Destiny because Bungie still owned that IP. Makes complete sense. It's their IP. They get control over it. Kind of a little bit backwards, but maybe the same kind of idea that Netflix canceled these Marvel shows because they didn't have also full creative control over the characters.
Which
makes some sense. It's still, I don't know, I still think it's crappy that the way this all went down, but I mean, that puts it in a little bit better perspective, at least, I think.
I can totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of sticking with Marvel a little bit, and also sticking with things that shouldn't be too surprising. People have been, I say people, I use that term loosely, have been review bombing Captain Marvel already, because why not?
Because the internet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Basically, it's been receiving negative feedback on Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of these comments are showing disinterest in the film, saying because either it's because of Brie Larson's like beliefs or whatever, or also them just thinking that the film is pushing an agenda when the movie hasn't even come out yet. But a lot of this is stemming, it's speculated that a lot of this is stemming from an interview that Brie Larson did with Marie Claire. The interview was conducted by Key Brown, and basically Brie specifically asked for this interview and said that, quote, about a year ago, I started paying attention to what my press days looked like and the critics reviewing movies and noticed it appeared to be overwhelmingly white male. And so she went on to say that moving forward, I decided to make sure my press days were more inclusive. So not necessarily saying I don't want to be interviewed by white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
She's just saying I want to be interviewed by other people as well.
Right.
You know, and some people
took offense to that.
Because the internet.
Yeah.
Because people are horrible. And they can hide behind their screen names and be misogynistic pieces of crap.
Basically.
Yeah. So. I say that with all the love in my heart.
How much love is there?
Ooh, not a lot. Not a lot. It's pretty vacant in there.
Oh, is there at least like a for lease sign or
no, I'm not taking applications at this time.
Definitely an echo.
Yeah. It's my own personal chamber of secrets.
Wow.
But like,
so let's get off.
But to kind of get back on topic just for a second, like, I get, you know, why sites like Rotten Tomatoes probably will never implement something like this into effect, but they really should not let, you know, just like the average, you know, you or me, put, you know, reviews on the website for films that
are not out yet.
That are not out yet. I understand, like, an actual journalist putting a review. Yeah, I get that. And then also, like, and I know that this one would be much harder to do just because of the, I'm sure, millions of reviews that, you know, a site like Rotten Tomatoes gets a day.
Mm.
But, like, there should be some kind of filter. If the review doesn't explicitly talk about the movie,
right,
it goes away.
Yeah.
That's just kind of my two cents.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was
it. It wasn't. I looked at him to see, but it wasn't. Makes sense. After he said my two cents, makes sense. Yeah. But it wasn't intentional because I looked at you and then I looked at him and looked back at you and I'm like, no, you're not going to shame them.
Yet.
Yet.
That is still young. So. Moving on, we're going to go ahead and start gut reaction, and we're going to actually start with Lydia tonight.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to start with a new Netflix movie and some interesting casting news there.
God. I'm not sure why this is a thing, but okay, here we go. So apparently, Chris Hemsworth is set to play Hulk Hogan in a biopic for Netflix. Apparently, Netflix obtained the life rights for Terry Jean Bollea, a.k.a. Hulk Hogan. Todd Phillips is going to be directing, and John Polano and Scott Silver are co-writing the script. Why Chris Hemsworth? Like, just why him in particular?
Because he kind of looks like Hulk Hogan with the long blonde hair. I mean, picture that with a handlebar mustache.
I don't want to, though. That's the problem. Like, that's my biggest...
Yeah, it does! Like,
that's my biggest
right.
problem here, though, is I don't want to picture that. And I don't want that in my life. So, no. Thumbs down.
Tabitha.
I had a weird childhood phobia of Hulk Hogan.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction.
No, that. I had like a weird irrational Hulk Hogan fear, like when he came out with that like TV show, like about
oh, a decade
the
cartoon.
Ago. No, like it was like a reality TV show with him and his.
Oh God,
like,
yeah,
like something like about Hogan's that. Or something. Uh-huh. Like I got extra upset because then all my childhood fears came rushing back. So. Thumbs very
yeah.
far down, like all the
way.
Matt.
I'm probably going to be in the minority here. But yes, like when I saw that he was going to be cast and like I pictured Chris Hemsworth with a blonde handlebar mustache, I really want to do the impression, but I'm just going to go thumbs up and just leave it at that. I mean, I'm not going to tear my shirt, so I guess we're in good shape there.
The crowd appreciates that.
I think this could be an interesting movie, a fun movie. Mm-hmm. You know, professional wrestling in the 80s, like especially like the behind the scenes aspect mm-hmm. of it, because it was kind of like the Wild West type of situation. I think that part of it would be really interesting. I'm giving this a thumb sideways just because of who they cast to play Hulk Hogan. I understand, like, you're right, Chris Hemsworth looks the part. Chris Hemsworth has also kind of proven himself as an actor. Like, I think that he could do the part, but at the same time, I mean, you're going to have an Australian person being...
The fact that he had that queued up.
He's so proud of himself. Like, he's just so proud of himself. I'm going to pretend like you're not here.
But this is my house.
We go through this a lot.
Yeah.
Matt, let's stick with Netflix and talk about Transformers.
So we know that Netflix has gone all in a lot of cases on anime. They're adding to that slate. And in 2020, they are going to have a new Transformers anime series. It's basically just going to be an anime style as far as artwork goes. It's going to be the War for Cybertron trilogy. So I don't know, essentially, they haven't given a whole lot of information if that's just going to be like three movies or like how that's going to be broken down. Polygon Pictures is doing the animation. And they say that it's going to explore Cybertron in a new and never before seen way. It will introduce new fans to the Transformers as well as basically keep things, keep the old fans happy, you know, as well. So Transformers is my childhood. Like, I grew up watching the movie, the cartoon, all of it. So I'm always up for more Transformers. And again, Netflix, with their anime and their background, I'm going thumbs up.
Yep. I was slightly concerned because it said, you know, like, presents the Transformers like you've never seen them before. It's like my first initial thought was kind of like, you know, is this going to kind of look like the Teen Titans Go, like, type of animation that we keep seeing? I'm going to have to go thumb sideways because I just feel like that there's more than meets the eye.
Wow.
Lydia?
I think you're lucky that she's busy at the moment. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble.
I'm just going to say thumb sideways and leave it at that.
Tabitha.
You know, I would have shamed him, but I forgot. I remembered that he doesn't exist to me right now.
Quick, get them all in while you can.
He doesn't exist. I may hate on the Transformers movies, like the Michael Bay movies, a lot because they're trash, but I loved the cartoon when I was a kid. So, and like you said, Amazon. Netflix has done nothing wrong, basically, as far as like the remakes of the cartoons that they've done that I've enjoyed thus far. Magic School Bus. I've watched a fair amount of the Carmen Sandiego thing now. Like, they've done a great job, so I'm going thumbs up.
Yeah. One more thing with Netflix. I didn't even know that this was a thing, but they have a 13-episode order for Green Eggs and Ham. It's an adaptation of the Dr. Seuss book. It's going to be, in a press release, they said that it's going to be like a postmodern Planes, Trains, and Automobiles through the whimsical world of Dr. Seuss. So we've got, we've got some casting news. Adam Devine is going to play Sam I Am, and Michael Douglas is going to be the voice Guy Am I.
Okay.
But then we've also got Ilana Glazer, Diane Keaton, Tracy Morgan, Eddie Izzard, Keegan-Michael Key, David Diggs. Like, why are all these people doing Green Eggs and Ham? I mean...
Is it just that, or is it... Like, it's just that story.
It's just that story. Yeah. So, I don't think that it's going to be something that I end up watching, but you know what? For just the star power alone, why not? Thumbs up. Lydia.
Why do they need, you said 13 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they need 13 episodes to tell the story of Green Eggs and Ham?
Hell if I know.
Like, that part alone confuses me. The star power is kind of cool, but I'm not sure that it needs to be that long of a series for that, so thumb sideways.
Right, that was my question, too. Like, is this being directed by Peter Jackson? Like, why do we need 400 episodes for a book that takes about 47 seconds to read if you're reading at a slow pace?
I want to see that directed by Peter Jackson.
I don't know, because the Hobbit movie looked like he was on acid for three movies. Star power, yes. Thumbs up for the entire cast. Confusion on why so many episodes, but I'm going to go with it. So thumbs up.
Matt.
This cast sounds fantastic. I am a little confused on the idea of mixing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Green Eggs and Ham, because my favorite part of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is definitely not kid-friendly. But... I kind of can see how that they're going to expand it, you know, all the places that he would or would not eat Green Eggs and Ham could be parts of episodes. But I still think 13 episodes is kind of extraneous. So I'm going to go thumb sideways.
Tabitha, let's talk about a new Scrabble game.
USAopoly has created Scrabble, World of Harry Potter. The game will now recognize characters, place names, spells, and potions from the Wizarding World. All your traditional words, you know, Webster's dictionary words, are still valid. You can use first and last names of the characters, and there will also be a set of cards that has special challenges that are not included in any other version of Scrabble that has come out thus far. It'll be $30 and available this spring from Barnes & Noble and other retailers. I want this. I'm real good at Scrabble, but my problem with Scrabble is I tend to use words that are not real words from, like, Harry Potter or, like, something else. And I'm like, that's a word. And people are like, it's not. And I'm like, it is. I've read it. Therefore, it is a word. So I'm down. I want this. And I also want to know what the special challenges are. Thumbs up.
Matt.
Doesn't the use of, like, names and things go against the rules of Scrabble just to begin with? Like, yes. No proper nouns?
Yes.
So that's screwing with the rules. I don't know if I can handle that.
Well, someone's a Scrabble purist.
Don't mess with the pastime. No, I think this will be cool. And I haven't played Scrabble in a very long time, but the idea of being able to include like Harry Potter references, I think is going to be a really cool and fun way to do it. So I'm going to go thumbs up.
That was something that I thought of too. I was like, I don't think you can use proper nouns, names in regular Scrabble. While, yes, that is cool to have, like, a Harry Potter version, and it would be cool, like, to see other, like, fandom versions of Scrabble, I can't accept the use of, oh, hey, I can use Harry. Like, no, that's not a thing. Thumbs down.
He's worse than I am.
So I suck at Scrabble. because of the you can't use names, you can't do blah, blah, blah. I would rocket this. I want this. And I think we should totally play it when it comes out.
Just me and you, evidently.
Yeah, obviously, just us. But thumbs up. Absolutely.
Matt, let's talk about our new favorite Jedi.
So, apparently, well, not merely, but there's a new Jedi that's been introduced. So, there are spoilers, as I talk about this, too, for this issue episode. God. Too much Star Wars and podcast episode things. Anyway, so Star Wars Age of Republic, Count Dooku number one, introduces a new Jedi who is an anthropomorphic tiger.
Okay.
And not just, like, the article here says it's not just a bipedal character that has traits like a cat. Like, this is actually, like, a tiger slash human. Like, it's, I know, hence anthropomorphic. Yes.
That's what that word means.
Tiger man.
Pretty much. His name is Jack Zinn. The good news and bad news is that he's in the issue, but he's kind of in, he's kind of on a mission or like a sleuthing case, and he gets himself into trouble and actually doesn't survive the issue. So they introduce him and then he's gone. I mean, there's obviously hope that now that he's been introduced that he will show up in other places in the Star Wars universe. But it kind of sucks that they would have just introduced him just to, I don't know, you can't cage that idea. So I'm going to go thumbs up on the idea.
I was prepared to go thumbs up up until you said that they killed the kitty. So now I have to go thumb sideways. Lydia.
So I know Star Wars, but I wanted to read this because Tiger Man. And then that, like, you can't introduce a character like that and make me like him and then kill him off in the same episode. That doesn't work. No. Thumbs down.
Tabitha.
So you lost me at the beginning, then you had me in the middle, and then I was like, wait a minute. They killed him? I can watch humans die in movies all day long. I sometimes giggle, it's fine.
But then, in movies, in real life, it doesn't matter.
Yes. But when they kill animals, I lose my mind. Like, no. Thumbs down, go away forever.
So DC is going to have a monthly, I'm assuming monthly, but a regular series based on none other than Superman's bestie, Jimmy Olsen. The cool part about this is that it's going to be written by Matt Fraction. If you comic book at all, Matt Fraction his Hawkeye series is really the biggest reason why I'm back into comics. That was the series that solidified it for me. I'm going thumbs up. I mean, the last thing I need is another series to try to read, but if Matt Fraction is attached to it, then 100%, especially with a character like Jimmy Olsen. I think that if he could make Clint Barton as cool as he did, I think he can make Jimmy Olsen just as cool. So thumbs up if I didn't say that. Lydia.
So I don't comic book very much, so I don't have a clue who that is, but I think it's cool to kind of take a side character rather than, oh, here's another Superman series. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, thumbs up.
I have a weird soft spot for Jimmy Olsen. I always have. You know, he's that weird side character that's like Peter Parker because he's a little bit of an annoying journalist, but he's like not a shitster like Peter Parker. So I'm going thumbs up. I think this is a good idea.
Annoying journalist. Who are you, Trump?
Wow.
Matt.
It's a good thing you still don't exist. Oh!
You are back in my existence.
I don't think mostly he's very happy about that, though.
Because you said the T word in my presence. We don't say the T word. You don't do that. Shame.
To be fair, you got like two or three in there before you existed again, so.
That's true. Maybe. I did.
Made use of your time. I have always found Jimmy Olsen completely obnoxious and annoying. Don't really understand why he's even there. I don't get it.
Peter Parker?
But he has no powers. At least Peter Parker has powers.
Can you walk on walls?
No, but I've also not been bitten by a radioactive spider yet.
Yet. So, as far as Jimmy Olsen as far as Jimmy Olsen, I'm not a fan of this. The idea of Matt Fraction being attached to it saves it, so I'm going to go thumb sideways.
Sticking with DC, they've got a 6-issue event coming out in May. It's called DC East. And it's not, it's outside of the main DC Comics continuity, but it's dealing with zombies. So, yeah. So, you get to see the heroes of DC fighting zombies. Maybe a couple of them turn into zombies. I don't know.
More than likely.
Yeah. It launches May 1st. I'm going to go thumb sideways on this one. It's definitely not going to be a book that I read regularly. If I hear good things about it, I might pick it up once it comes out in trade format, but whatever. Lydia.
I'm intrigued, but it almost sounds like fan fiction. So thumbs sideways.
Tabitha.
I'm going thumbs down. I'm over this whole zombie thing. I've been over the zombie thing since about 10 minutes after the zombie thing started.
So, don't look at my car then.
Thumbs down.
Matt.
Your zombies are fine.
Okay, cool.
I mean, Marvel already has done the Marvel zombies. So usually DC is not the one to kind of, at least in the last few years, like be behind the curve on things like this. Like, you know, Marvel did the zombies thing as it was big. The zombies thing is I'm very sorry I'm going to say this, but the zombies thing is dying. And it no else to say to put that.
Undying,
yeah.
That needs to stay dead, I think. But I think this is just not a great idea. I don't know why they would feel necessary to do this, because like I said, it's already been done. Zombies are kind of over. So, thumbs down.
All right, so even though they never explicitly said that they had a date for Fantastic Beasts 3, but they had kind of like a place marker for it, but that place marker has now been taken over by Doom. So Fantastic Beasts 3 is getting pushed back, maybe to spring 2021, which if that's the case, that's going to be the longest period of time between any two Harry Potter movies. So that's cool. I'm giving the idea of this a thumbs up. I think especially after the way that Fantastic Beasts 2 was received, I think maybe they should take a little bit extra time and make sure that they don't repeat their mistakes. Lydia.
I agree. I think maybe taking the extra time to kind of think things over and work kinks out and maybe, yeah. Anyway, thumbs up.
Tabitha.
I'm going thumb sideways on this because at the same time, I want them to take more time to maybe polish it a little bit more than they did Crimes of Grindelwald, because that was trash. But at the same time, like, part of me fears that J.K. Rowling is just going to be like, look at all this new stuff I can make up. I have so much more time now, guys. Did you know? And then she, like, gives someone, like, a 30-page, like, document, and she's like, these are all new things that I've been thinking of the whole time. With them all in this movie. Okay, bye! Like, that's what I'm worried is going to happen. So sideways.
Matt.
Yeah, you're not wrong on any of that. So, yeah, I think it might be a good idea. It also might be a bad idea. So, basically, thumb sideways.
All right. Matt, we're going to end Gut Reaction with you tonight, and we're going to talk about a new Kickstarter.
So, there's a new Kickstarter. Are you pulling this up? Because I... Mm-hmm. Okay. It is from Just Us Games. And it is called Supreme Courtship. It is a judicial adventure game where the characters are younger versions of the Supreme Court justices, and you yourself get to play a justice. You get to learn about how the Supreme Court works, and while solving a murder mystery involving the Supreme Court. The visual style is very much reminiscent of graphic novels. And while some people may call it a dating sim, they like to refer to the game as a judicial friendship sim. Because you build relationships with the other justices that as you, like, become friends with the other justices, you can sway them towards your argument. You unlock other side quests, things like that. Part of the reason for this was that they want to expand the knowledge of how the Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court is and how it works. It is going to be an all-ages game. It's going to be available for Steam and for Steam, for PC, and for Mac. So did you pull up the quick Kickstarter?
Yes. As of this moment, the goal is $32,000. As of this moment, they've $12,577 pledged by 216 people. There are 22 days left to go. It's an all-or-nothing campaign, and so you have until March 16th to donate.
I think this is an awesome idea. It looks fun. I sat and watched the whole 8.5-minute little video. I'm going thumbs up.
It sounds weird enough to work. Right? I'm going to go ahead and give this a thumbs up. Part of me wants to back it anyway, but I haven't done it yet. But man, the more, and honestly, I didn't get a chance to really play around with the Kickstarter. But the oh man,
right, the younger versions of the justices,
yeah. Sonya Sotomayor, man, that's hilarious. I'm going thumbs up on this one, Lydia.
Not gonna lie, my first thought when you started describing this was Phoenix Wright.
But which, then, that's actually part of their influence.
Yeah. So, but then the longer you went, the more intrigued I got. And I kind of want this now, so thumbs up.
Tabitha. Very enthusiastic thumbs up. All I've ever wanted is to be best friends with a Supreme Court justice, so...
Dream come true.
Dream come true. It kind of also in like looks like... when they first put it, you're not going to know, when they first made Mall Madness like a video game for like a hot second, that's what the art kind of looks like, and it made me giggle.
The only thing that I don't really understand about that one, about the game, is why do they have to make it younger versions? Make it the old AF versions of the Supreme Court justices
but if
we have right now.
Make friends with the old AF Supreme Court justices we have right now, we get them for such a short period of time. If we get them when they're younger, we get to expound on our friendships for decades.
She's not wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just saying.
So, we have a few things to read to talk about from Lionforge this week. The first two I'm going to talk about just kind of quickly because I got caught up on a couple of Catalyst Prime titles. The first one, Superb number 17, came out yesterday. With this issue, like it deals with some fallout from what happened in the previous issue. There was a kind of a rescue mission that didn't go according to plan, and so it was kind of like it was dealing with, you know, Jonah was kind of like telling his side of the story. Also, kind of like what I talked about with the last time that we talked about Superb, I don't want to say making a bigger deal out of his Down syndrome, but I mean, but it's more prevalent, okay. You know. They're talking about it more, which again, like I think, is a wonderful thing. And also, what else I was going to say, but one other thing that they are doing, they are continuing on with like those bonus stories of Cosmosis.
Oh, cool!
So that's a lot of fun too. And with that, one thing that I really love, like, because it is like being like that side story is a full on cheesy comic book story. You know, like there are a lot of parts where like the narration box says one thing, and then the character says basically the exact same thing. Like, it's wonderful. I love it. So Superb 17, like I said, came out yesterday. So check that out. Coming out next week is Quincredible number 4. And again, like, so I don't want to talk a whole lot about this one just because I don't want to spoil anything. But Quincredible is really, it's something that we had talked about with that first issue that, you know, because like it's really talking, it's bringing in other characters from the Catalyst Prime universe. And that really is happening in this issue. And so it's really made me want to go back and get caught up on all the other ones that I've kind of let fall by the wayside. It's a really good book. This one, Quincredible, I think it focuses a lot on family. And the other Catalyst Prime books have as well. Superb has focused on family. Noble has. But I mean, but it's, I think there's something different and special about Quincredible and how he interacts with his parents. So, like I said, if you haven't gotten caught up on that one, definitely do get caught up and check out the new issue when it comes out next week. So, we got a chance, and we all got a chance to read the first chapter of Glint Volume 1. This is another book that comes out next week. So, I've done a lot of talking, so why don't you guys... why don't you talk about, you know, your thoughts with, about Glint. I guess I should kind of talk about what it is a little bit first. It's...
That was a journey.
Ta-da! So, the planet, it takes place on the planet Mora. And so it deals with a lot of different, it's a different alien race. And basically they're mining for Glint, which is kind of what
runs the world.
Thank you.
Girls.
Squirrels.
So it centers around Loon, who wants to leave the mines and join his friend in the military, but that's not necessarily the best idea, or at least that's not what his family thinks. So so with that said, so now you kind of have an idea of what the book is about. What did you guys think of that first chapter?
This probably, Tabitha and I talked about this just a little bit. I think this may be one of the few from Lionforge that I'm not quite like sold on just yet. and I don't know exactly like what it is, because like the art style is fine. Like it's good. I like it. It fits kind of the story. But maybe it's because, at least for me, there's a lot of information. There's a lot that happens, but you don't get a whole lot of the heart of the story. Like, I really, like, I got done with this, and I don't know where it's going. You barely get an intro to the bad guys. And instead of, like, in a lot of cases, that's enough to pull me along and keep me going to see more. And this one wasn't quite enough of that to really, like, I really want to know the, like what's behind this, you know, back and forth and this war between these characters. I just not quite enough there to pull me in.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys know I don't like to be dropped off in the middle of something. Mm-hmm. It messes with me, like, hardcore. Like, it was jarring when I got into it. And then, like, they gave me, like, a little bit of background as we went along. But I was having a really hard time following the story. And I don't know if it was me or if it was the story. Like, I kept, like, losing time somewhere. I was like, and they, all the characters look exactly the same other than, like, basically their colors to me. And I was like, I don't know who's talking anymore. Can I get some name tags? Like, my name is plates. Like, come on. I did, I messaged you guys about it while I was reading it. Like, I felt like everyone, like, in my head, all of these people sound like they're Scottish. I don't know why. But they all sound like they're from Scotland. Every single one of them.
Lydia, what'd you think?
I agree. I think the art style is really cute, but I was lost as well. It felt like they bounced back and forth between the different areas, like, too abruptly. And you didn't get a lot to go on in the beginning, and then it was just a whole bunch of exposition, like, just spewed in your face for no reason, it felt like. And it felt like it was like the characters were almost forced to give this exposition. There wasn't really, like, a reason for them to. Mm-hmm. So, maybe going forward it'll clear it up a little bit, but yeah, I'm not exactly pulled in with this one either.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to, that in, you know, in the future chapters, that we do get to see more. Because it's kind of like, I feel like with that first chapter, they were doing a lot of world building because this is, you know, this isn't like, this isn't something like Voltron that we've read before, you know, where, you know, we're familiar with the property. This is something completely brand new for us. And so we didn't get kind of like caught up, you know, with all the characters in that first, you know, in that first chapter. I did like, you know, like, how they kind of played with language a little bit, you know, it reminded me of like Firefly, how like they throw in, what was it, like it was like what, like Mandarin or something like that,
yeah,
you know, in place of curse words, but you know, like, and obviously this wasn't Mandarin, this is kind of more like gibberish, but and not even necessarily curse words, but like, but still, like I love, you know, I did enjoy like kind of seeing, you know, like their language, but still being able to read and understand it. You know?
See, my only problem with that was trying to figure out what was a name and what was a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. So, but yeah. So, like I said, that will come out next week. So, so check that out. Yeah, and, you know, kind of echo what everybody else was saying, too. Like, the art for this one was really well done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and kind of, like, go off of that whole world building. I mean, it's cool to see, you know, and not only just to, you know, see the words, you know, of it, but also like kind of see those kind of like fantastical like spaces or whatever, if you will. So anyway, also we got a press release from Vault. They are doing this new thing. It's called Bound Comics and Community. So what they're doing, they're providing comic book shops with up to $25,000 worth of products to support community engagement events throughout 2019. They're looking to support events that promote literacy, create safe spaces for community interaction, engage younger readers, or to help local business communities thrive. Any comic book shop with a Diamond account is eligible to apply. So Damian Wassel, who is the Vault publisher and CEO, he said that, "We want to put our money where our heart is with the fans, comic shops, and retailers who make the comics what they are." So
that's really cool.
Yeah. So, So anybody, like I said, you know, if you have a Diamond account, you can apply for that. Vault is going to select the events to sponsor on a case by case basis at its sole discretion.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So that's kind of cool to also see them give back.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So. One last bit of comic book news and just kind of a quick shout out to our friend from Lionforge, Steens, who she, along with Ivy Noel Weir, won the McDuffie Award for diversity for their book Archival Quality.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I picked that up at C2E2 last year at Steens' suggestion. But I finally got a chance to read it a few months ago, and it is really, really good. It deals a lot with mental health issues, you know, and things like that. And it's a really good read. It was one of those books for me that, like, I kind of put down, came back to it later, a couple days later, but it got to a point where I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so it was really good. The other nominees, just go real quick, were Papa Cherry, written by Saxon Moore and illustrated by Philip Johnson. The Snagglepuss Chronicles, written by Mark Russell and penciled by Mike Feehan. Victor Laval's Destroyer, written by Victor Laval and illustrated by Dietrich Smith. And The Carpet Merchant by Romina Yee. So.
Nice.
Cool. Tabitha, you've got a couple things from Lord of the Rings.
I do. So, first, Amazon is locked this thing down like crazy. Jennifer Salk from Amazon Studios has revealed that they are going to some pretty extraordinary lengths to keep the series under wraps. Writers are being kept in a secure room with no natural light to avoid leaks.
Which
seems illegal, but that's fine. You have to go through a security guard that sits outside the room to get into the room. And with that security guard sits a fingerprint scanner.
Wow.
Holy crap. They're going hard. Tolkien's descendants are actually spending some time with Jeff Bezos to try to influence a little bit of this series, which I think is really cool. They're being kept in a room with no light.
Are they at least being fed?
And, like, are they allowed to go to the bathroom? Like, should we check on them? Do they need help? Do they need water?
I mean, if you believe some of the other stories about Amazon employees.
I know, that's what my concern is. Where is this? Like, they keep saying it's in Santa Monica, but I don't believe them. I've got them in, like, an underground bunker in Indonesia or something, writing this Tolkien series. I'm nervous. So after we found that out, though, we also got an interactive map of Middle-earth from Amazon.
Oh, cool.
It's really fun if you can figure out how to make it work, but I couldn't. So I've had it downloaded on, like, every device that I have, and I cannot figure out how to make it work. Like, I don't understand how it's interactive. Like, I can zoom, but nothing happens. It's literally just, like, a picture of a map I can zoom on.
It's not really interactive.
Right. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, which is probable because I don't have technology. It's really cool looking if you can get it to work, I guess. But we have a map. We know that these writers are, you know.
Locked in a room.
Locked in a room. Can I do that to George R. R. Martin? We still don't have a release date for this. Amazon is saying sometime in 2021, which is very definitive, but
maybe that's why they've locked the writers in a room. Get them to buckle down and get it done.
That's my fear. It's like they've locked them in a room. They've released this like teaser map that nobody can get to work, and you can't tell I'm real bitter about this. I'm gonna get this thing to work. But like, and now they're saying 2021, which is pushed back from their original date. Like, are they struggling or are they just trying to perfect it? Because now they've brought Tolkien's descendants in, like. Did they hit, like, a wall? Or are they trying to be really, really thorough?
Like, to be fair, like, they have sunk a ton of money into this. Mm-hmm. Like, before anything is even said, like, the amount of money that they have invested here. Like, for them, for this to be worthwhile for them, it really has to be the next Game of Thrones. It really has to be. And it's hard for anybody to do that intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's music and it's you got bands trying to duplicate Metallica's Black Album,
mm-hmm.
or you've got people making shows trying to duplicate Game of Thrones, or whether it's a book and you're trying to be the next J.K. Rowling. Like, a lot of times it seems like when you put that much effort into replicating or duplicating or like being the next big thing, it ends up falling flat.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's a buttload of money invested in this to make it that next big thing.
Right.
I'm really glad to know it's not just me that cannot figure this map out. Thank you, Lydia.
I'm feeling like a little disappointed in myself right now.
That makes two of us.
So, Lydia, maybe you can make yourself feel a little bit better and tell us about the storytelling.
I can try. Neil Gaiman is working with the Jim Henson Company on a reboot of the 1980s anthology series, The Storyteller. Storyteller is a retelling of various European folk stories. They had done a series, like I said, in the 80s, that was narrated by John Hurt. Apparently, they are going to be doing a reboot that the way they worded it is kind of strange to me, but they are saying that it is, where did it go? The new series will be updated for the binging kind of viewer and will go deep into the background of the titular storyteller. So from what I'm understanding is they're basing it more on the storyteller himself rather than the stories.
Okay.
Because Gaiman said, who was the storyteller? Why was he telling these stories? Was he a goblin? What kind of creature? What I'd love to do is an inside story that's as long as the outside story. I don't think there is a release date or anything like that as of yet, but it is being worked on, and it is being worked on with the Jim Henson Company, which is very cool to me.
Yeah, nice. So, all right. So, Tabitha, let's talk about lightsabers.
Dueling is now, lightsaber dueling is now a competitive sport in France, so we should all just move to France. I'll teach you French on the way. We'll be fine. Okay, so the French Fencing Federation has supported this for years, and they finally got it signed into whatever. Basically, it's being used to keep kids active and get nerds off their butts and stuff, you know.
keep nerds off the streets.
Yep.
Dangerous place for nerds to be.
Especially in France. God, I hate you.
I love how rather than shaking it anymore, she just resorted to just grabbing it really violently so it rings.
Flawless effort. It gets out some of my aggression. So the lightsabers even make the noise. This is essentially a fencing competition, but with lightsabers. Strikes to the head and body are worth 5 points. The arms and legs are 3 points. The hands are 1 point. The first to reach 15 points wins, or the highest score after 3 minutes. If both contestants reach 10 points, they enter sudden death. First to land a head or body blow wins. So basically, it's just fencing with lightsabers. People are sinking tons of cash into this, though. Like, I kind of did a little digging on Instagram and stuff, and, like, people are spending, like, ungodly amounts of money. But then you have to have your lightsaber and your equipment approved by the Fencing Federation.
Okay.
Which, I mean, makes sense. Obviously, these don't actually cut you in half. They aren't real lasers, but
hopefully they light up and make sounds.
They do. Okay. They are required to light up, and they are required to have the sound feature in order to qualify.
Sweet.
See, and I was gonna ask how many points you got if you cut off somebody's hand.
Well, you said what, 1 point?
1 point for the hand. Yeah. Only 1 point. Might as well keep the hand. Not worth it. Unless you're in sudden death. Well, then I guess it doesn't count because it's not a head or body. So I don't know. But, I mean, this isn't obviously going to be like an Olympic sport or anything. But it's fun.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's an official sport in France. Like, come on, France. That's great.
Yeah. Way to go, France.
Way to go, France.
We have Quidditch tournaments. We have lightsaber duels. I love that geek culture is becoming like...
sport culture?
Yes. It's wonderful. Same.
So, all right. So, we've got time for one more story, but there are two food stories that I really want to talk about. So, we're going to try to cram them both in. And Tabitha, we're going to start with you.
My cheese book. Is that where we're going? Okay.
Did you have any other food stories that I didn't miss that I missed?
No, so. Sorry, I'm just used to having a KFC story. I got real confused. So the University of Michigan's art and design librarian, Jamie Lausch Vanderbrook, which is what a name, congratulations, has gotten a book for their collection called 20 Slices. It is 20 plastic wrapped craft singles bound in bright yellow cardboard covers. It's the work of Ben Denzer. Watch it. The work of Ben Denzer, who also has books made of ketchup packets and Splenda packets and trash bags. This book sold for $200, guys. We're all in the wrong professions. We should have been making cheese books this whole time. My question. So, Kraft Singles, I know it's not like cheese. It's pasteurized cheese product.
Shelf stable.
What's the shelf life of this book? It can't be that long, right? And like people are like, they can like check it, like not check it out, but like they can like pull it off the display and look at it. Like now all these people are just touching this cheese. And I know that it's in plastic, but mold? Is no one concerned about mold? Is that just me? Am I the only one concerned about mold?
I mean, I wasn't until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, now you're thinking about cheese mold. You're welcome. But yeah. This dude made $200 by putting cheese in a book.
Finding it in a book format.
And the University of Michigan has a like feature going on right now of like different books that are not made of paper things, but cheese.
I mean, the profit on this is ridiculous because a pack of those is like $3.50.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, some what?
Cardboard.
Some cardboard or some construction paper and some yarn.
Yeah.
Like,
see, when you initially started talking about this, I thought it was going to be like a book that you, like, was made of cheese that you could, like, eat? Like, the entire thing was cheese?
I mean, I guess you could eat the slices, but that feels rude. That also feels not safe, because God only knows the last time that was refrigerated.
Yeah, that's food poisoning why it didn't happen. Don't do that.
Cheese mold.
Well, the only, like, something that popped into my head when I was first hearing about this. So, like, do you guys remember when we were talking about Aquaman and Amber Heard was talking about how Jason Momoa was, like, ripping pages out of
her book? Oh.
Maybe.
Why did you bring that up again?
For two reasons. One.
I know. It's maybe, your segue.
That was number two. Maybe Jason Momoa thought that it was a cheese book.
And he was hungry?
Maybe. We don't know. We don't know his life.
You know, I don't really care for Amber Heard, but I know she's more advanced than reading a cheese book.
Maybe, maybe not.
Use your segue.
But speaking of Jason Momoa, Matt.
I mean, if he's not going to eat a cheese book, he could have some cookies, some Girl Scout cookies. So there is a girl from Colorado. She, with her mom, who works in marketing, who got the idea apparently from the internet, has taken a picture of Jason Momoa, has put them on boxes of Girl Scout cookies, not just any Girl Scout cookies, Samoas.
Of course.
And is selling Momoas. Apparently they're going like hotcakes.
Hot cookies?
Hot cookies. Like hot out of the oven? Fresh out of the oven?
Fresh baked. Jason Momoa's?
I don't know who cooked up this idea, but it is working.
Wow.
You know, I had a feeling that was coming. It was just in my soul. I could feel it. Oh, Jesus. Kudos to this mom and this girl. Like, that's brilliant. Like, I can't eat Samoas because they have coconuts on them, but I would think about it. I would think about risking anaphylactic shock for these cookies right now.
I'll eat them for you. Thank you.
I'll buy them.
They're my favorite cookies anyway.
Lydia can have their cookies out of the box. Yes.
Just keep going.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, that is kind of a brilliant idea. And like, and let's be honest, people are going to buy Girl Scout cookies anyway.
Right? Like, absolutely.
And I've never had a Samoa. I mean, for me, it's Thin Mints all the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Although.
In the freezer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got two boxes in the freezer right now.
So proud of you.
that and then the, what is it, the tagalongs? I've gotten into those in the last couple years. Like peanut butter, chocolate, patty.
Oh, those, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I literally only think Thin Mints exist.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, but Samoas are actually my favorite Girl Scout cookie.
So I'm sure a lot of these people that have bought in,
wow.
Wow.
Where are you from?
I don't know. You know, never mind.
I'm just gonna call it.
Yeah.
Time of death. 8:35 PM.
I was trying to sneak in one last joke, but then like I hadn't had it completely formed yet, and I was like, it's not going to get there by the time the words start need to be coming out of my mouth, so whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
So. I kind of have to schedule your puns in advance.
I've got a pun calendar.
I thought I called time of death. What is still, why are we still here?
All right, well, that's all the time that we have for this episode of The Geek Awakens. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, we'll be posting news on Facebook and Twitter throughout the week, so be sure to follow us there. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. From all of us at The Geek Awakened, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back a little bit.
We hope you'll be back next week.
Bye.